Let me just introduce myself a little bit, okay? My name's Andy. Everybody say hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
And your name is? Okay, hello to you too. But a few things you have to know about me, okay? If you're taking notes, now's a perfect time to take notes, like, okay, these are things we have to know about Andy, okay? Then you can star, asterisk, okay, write it in pen, and don't erase it. I'm just kidding. So, I do like my cereal, but I also love Swedish fish. Anybody like Swedish fish around here? You'll have to tell me, who won the Oreos? Who won the Oreos? Okay, you have to tell me if you like them, okay? So, if you don't like them, I'm not upset. Just tell me if you like them, okay? Not right now, unless you already tried them. Okay, you didn't try them. That's okay. So, I love Swedish fish. I love anything gummy. Where are my gummy fans at? Okay, like, if it's gummy, it doesn't matter if it's like ginger or dirt flavored, I'm going to try it, right? Okay, I just love gummy stuff. But something you guys have to know about me is, like, my life was totally changed by Jesus. And I don't mean that to be like, oh, now the mood's getting real. Like, no, seriously, like, I love Jesus, and I'm falling in love with Jesus more and more. And the more I discover about Jesus, the more amazed I am at him. And I graduated in electrical engineering from Wright State, and so, like, I've studied, or at least tried to study some of the more deep things, you know, about what God created and designed and that kind of stuff, but I'm still regularly amazed about how vast and how big and how strong and just crazy good Jesus is. And so, if you want to know, those are some, you know, Swedish fish, you know, that's kind of in there, gummies, and then Jesus way on top. Okay, so now you know a little bit about me, and we can meet each other more over cereal. So, but I seriously love Chi Alpha. I love this time of year. For this is like Christmas plus Easter plus like National Batman Day all rolled into one. You guys know there's a National Batman Day, right? Now you do. Okay, it's awesome. I think it's in August. So, but I love to meet new people. Okay, I love to play sports. I love Can Jam. I love basketball. If you invent a sport, I'd love to play it with you. Okay, especially if it involves tackling each other. We'll just go for it, right? Okay, I don't think we have a picture of my wife, but we might have a live feed of my awesome wife. And so everybody look up there, and everybody say, aww. That's my wife, Heather. She's awesome. And is Finn and Addie are probably back there, so you're pointing to the ground, so that's probably Finn. Okay. I have a 4-year-old daughter. Her name's Adelaide. You can call her Addie. She'll be your best friend if you just kind of hang out with her and let her color with you. And Finn, his full name's Finian. He's just about 3 weeks old. He's super tiny, super cute, and has a very active, like, he doesn't really eat Raisin Bran yet, but it's kind of like he does, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just super active. So we're all adults here, so I'm, you know, going to the biology a little bit. So so when we first had Finn, really my wife had Finn, and I was just like, yeah, you got it, you know. So when we first had Finn, the nurse came in and just kind of, you know, like, when you have a baby, just the experience is crazy. It truly is a miracle. Okay, I don't mean that like, oh, it's a cute little miracle. Like, no, it's like a miracle. Like, how does any baby come out right? Like, it's amazing. It's really amazing. But anyway, so we're in the hospital with Finn, and the nurse comes in and says, hey, so you, we want to make sure that Finn has one poopy diaper and one pee-pee diaper within the first 24 hours, just to make sure everything's kind of flowing and working good, you know, that kind of stuff. We're like, okay, that sounds good. Like, we'll just watch him. And so because my son is like an all-star, total overachiever already, okay, he had five of each. And I'm not even joking. Like, every time the nurse came in, like, the nurse had to change his diaper. And she was, like, looking at us like, are you even changing your kid's diaper? Like, yes, we are, like, constantly, you know. And so I think he actually woke us up two nights ago with his regular bowel movements. So it was that loud. So anyway, now you know a lot more about me than you probably needed to know. So, hey, so see if I'm missing anything. So actually, I graduated from Wright State. I had a class here. Some of you students who were here last week, you remember the story about me falling asleep in my physics lecture. I won't go into that one, but you can ask me later. But I love Wright State. I love UD, even though I only went there for like a semester. I love Sinclair, even though I never went to class there. Every time I go to Sinclair, I love it more and more. I look at this campus, and I can remember pockets of when God encountered me on this campus. Like, I remember, if you go into Millett, don't go there right now. If you go to Millett, and you go to the fourth floor, and then you go up another secret stairway, you just keep going up. There's no real, it's like access to the roof, and it's like a dark area. Like, I would remember, like, taking my flashlight and, like, my Bible and just, like, studying God's Word up in that corner and just till all hours of the night. It was awesome. Like, I remember finding pockets on campus that I could just pray because I just started to discover how to pray and I kind of liked it. So, like, let's just try this. And I remember sneaking around and trying to find, like, every little open door that I could get into, like, because sometimes janitors forget to lock the doors and, like, ooh, they forgot to lock 101. I'm going to go run around and, you know, I don't know what I do. So, but I remember God encountering me on this campus year after year after year. And I could tell you for certain, I had no anticipation that that was going to happen. I didn't pray about coming to Wright State. I didn't think God was going to do anything really at Wright State. The only reason I came to Wright State was because my friend recommended it. I was like, sure, I like the campus. It's not too big. It's not too small. I just kind of like it here. And so I came here, but not knowing that God really was ordaining and directing my steps here. So I love what Hannah said earlier during worship, that if you feel like you're out of place, in a nice way, you're wrong, right? God has you here. He's directed your steps. He's directed you even to Wright State. Even if Wright State was or was not your top choice, I believe that God has you here for a reason and in this room for a reason. So I'm thankful that you guys are here. I'm excited that you guys are here. And I'm excited not just for tonight and who you get to meet and the things that God gets to do in your heart, but this whole year, your whole time at Wright State. I'm like giddy, eager with excitement with what God could do in your life, what he could do in your life, in your lives, at your time at Wright State. Does that sound fun? Does that sound fun?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 8. So every week, this is connection. Every week we're going to study the Word. We're going to take a time of worship. And so bring your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have free ones that we'd love to give you. If you forgot yours first week, that's totally fine. Just share with your neighbor. So students, you guys who have been here a while, make sure you share with your neighbor so they can read along. We'll have it up on the screen too, but I can't always promise what we'll have. Can you turn it to the blank one? Is that all right? Perfect. Okay, so Mark chapter 8. And another thing you guys should know about me is that yesterday I totally obliterated my phone. I mean, I stuck it in this crack of this door and I shut the tailgate of a van on my phone. I should show you the picture. It's awesome looking. I can only say that because I'm holding back tears. Okay. But so I just borrowed a new phone. And I figured, let's break this thing in. And so there's no better way that I can think of breaking in my phone than a selfie with all my new friends right here. Okay, so can we do that? Okay, and I don't want a lame selfie because this is like the first picture on my phone. I haven't even had a chance to take a picture of Finn yet. So, okay, I need some like good excitement. So if you want to stand up, you want to stand on your neighbor, if you want to like, you know, plant. So, okay, you ready? Okay. I don't know if you want, maybe we should just stand up, because then it's like, okay, is this a standing thing or a sitting thing? It's a standing thing, okay?
I need to bunch in, guys. Pretend like you like each other. Actually like each other.
All right. If you can't, okay, hold on. Okay, maybe you guys on that row can get over here, okay? Maybe I should take it this way. No? People, quit texting me. Quit it. Okay. I'm getting... I don't want to lose anybody. Dude over here. What's this dude? Adam. Dude, scoot in. There. Oh, that's way better. Oh, that's good right there. All right, somebody's getting like blocked out by the sun, so. Okay, hold on. Good, and then I downloaded Snapchat too, so I can do that too. So. All right, this is live, ready? So you can say whatever you want. What up? nice. Very nice. You guys can sit down. Appreciate it. Yes, add to my story. You guys are great. Appreciate you. So, you know, on Snapchat, you got, like, the multiple, like, the face filters things, but, like, you can have multiple people in it. So you guys all got, like, puppy dog faces. So now you're immortalized with that. Okay. So you guys are in Mark, right? Okay. You guys know what chapter you're in?
Eight.
You got, you know what verse you're in?
27.
No, because I haven't told you unless you saw it on the screen. So, okay. So, like I said, every week we're going to look at the Bible. Every week we're going to talk about Jesus. Okay, because Jesus is not just a historical figure to us. He is everything to us. Okay, and Mark, if you guys aren't familiar with Mark, it's okay. Mark is one of the four gospels. A gospel actually means good news. So Mark is one of the four authors of, basically the four gospels are four different accounts of Jesus' life. Okay, and so four different guys, dudes, observed Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They were very close friends and brothers with Jesus. And they wrote down what he did. And so it's really cool because you get different personalities seeing the same individual, i.e. Jesus, and you see it in a very different way. And they're written to different audiences. And so you could read something in Matthew, and it may not be in Mark. That doesn't mean because it didn't happen. It's because it means it was written to a different audience. And so some people wrote, they wanted all the nitty-gritty details. And other people, like Mark, they wrote to a Roman audience. And basically that meant they just, like, give it to me cut and dry. Just give me the facts, okay? So that's Mark. Sometimes people call Mark the ADD gospel, like attention deficit disorder gospel, because it's just like bam, 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 bam. It's just on to the next one. Very little explanation. Okay, just the facts. Okay, so we're just going to jump into a small verse here and look at a couple other scriptures as well. So, okay. So Mark 8, 27 through 29. Let me read it and then I'll pray and then we'll kind of dig into this. Jesus and his disciples went on to a village named Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much for every single one of these students. God, would you bless them? God, would you take care of them? God, would you just give them an extra good chunk of you tonight, God, that you would awaken their hearts, God, through the scriptures, God, that you would make them alive, God, even more than they are right now, God, that you would do good stuff in their hearts. God, we anticipate and we're expecting you to be supernatural tonight. You're a supernatural God, and we just worship you, God, and so we expect you in a good way, God, to be here with us. And so we're reading your word, something you want us to do. God, your Holy Spirit is here helping us understand it. God, and so we just pray. God, I pray for all these students and myself also, God, that you would speak loudly to us. God, that every single one of us would walk away changed. That's what we want. We don't want to walk away the same. We want to walk away changed. In the name of Jesus, amen. So verse 27, Jesus and his disciples, okay, his bros, okay, his, like, if they were today, they're like bro tanks. Okay, Jesus is in a bro tank, and all the other dudes are in bro tanks, and they just got done lifting. You know, they're coming. You know, had their protein shakes, all that kind of stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about. So they went on to a village. Okay, in the Middle East. You guys have probably never been there, but on the way, and this caught me off guard because it's just on the way. It's not like he didn't set up this magical moment. You know, the magic moment or whatever that song is, right? He didn't set that up. It's just on the way, just like a normal day. And he asks them this crazy important question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Which is really interesting. Okay, so he kind of sets them up. And what do they respond in? What's one of the answers that they respond in? John the Baptist. Okay, so John the Baptist was like a prophet, like a really famous prophet of that current day. So some people thought he was like reincarnated. He reincarnated, like came back from the dead, that kind of stuff. And so, hey, some people say you're John the Baptist. What's the other thing that people thought he said, thought he was? Elijah. That was like an ancient, amazing prophet. I mean, like dynamic. Like when you read about him, it's like that didn't, I have a hard time believing that existed or he existed. His life was so crazy. So some people thought he came back from the dead and that was Jesus, okay? And they said still others, one of the prophets. But here, he turns the tables on them. Okay? And he doesn't just say, well, who do people say that I am? He says, who do you say that I am? And I was reading this, and I realized he didn't just ask one guy. He didn't just say, Whitney, who do you say that I am? Or Denise, who do you say that I am? Or Ulysses, who do you say that I am, right? He asked them in community. So this is like a small group. This is kind of like what a circuit could be. And Jesus is leading the circuit, and he turns to the whole circuit on their way to Bill's Donuts, right? And we're like, whoa, we're just going to Bill's Donuts. This is getting serious here, right? And he turns to say, hey, who do people say that I am? That's a huge question. And so it's amazing that he asked this even in kind of a micro community. And that's how we get to grow. That's how Jesus sets this whole thing up. So when we talk about circuits, it's not just a small thing. We hope people get along. Like, this is how Jesus did stuff. He trained people and he walked with people in those small communities. So it's interesting that he asked that. But then he turns the tables and verse 29 says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? That is the biggest question that we could ever answer. It's the biggest question that you could ever find an answer to. Who do you say? Must be a cricket here. Who do you say that Jesus is? That question is simple, but it is paramount. It has ramifications for not just your life here, but your whole eternal life. It determines who you marry. It determines how you live, your career. Like, if you're going to finish college, it determines all these things. Who do you say that Jesus is? You see, Jesus didn't let them take the crowd's answers or the religious answers. He looked at the disciples straight in the eye and asked them, what about you? Who do you say that I am? College, you guys are in college, right?
Yeah.
Am I not in college in here? It'd be kind of weird. Okay, that's all right. We still love you. So college, we always talk about college as this like time that you become who you really are, right? Anybody like maybe looking to reinvent some things about themselves? Like, hey, you don't know who it was in high school, but I'm going to leave that in high school. Anybody honest here? Okay, a couple honest people. That's good. Appreciate it. Get new identity, discover your purpose. All those things are true, I believe, of college or university stuff. College is an awesome time to find answers to huge questions like, who are you really? Not just what's your last name and where you're from, but who are you really? What is your career going to be? Are you really going to gain the freshman 15? Serious question. You have to have an answer for that. Okay? Because if you don't, it's going to sneak up on you, and it's going to get lodged right here. Okay? And it's going to be those greasy pizza, you know, roll-up things that have extra cheese in it. You're like, sure, just add more cheese. I didn't say to stop adding the cheese, you know, that kind of stuff. And, like, and then you wake up, you're like, whoa, what happened? Right? Then your mom buys you bigger pants when you go home for Christmas, right? Serious questions here, people. Another serious question. How late is too late to go to Bill's Donuts?
Never.
And the answer is never, right? Okay, if you don't know what Bill's Donuts is, it's a 24-hour donut shop in Centerville. So whenever you want to go, you know, you have a donut run, you just go have a donut run at Bill's, okay? Just ask a circuit leader. I'm sure they know where it's at. They'll give you the hookup, okay? I actually went to Bill's Donuts my freshman year. I had no clue where it was. I just got in a car with all my roommates, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I showed up at this, like, anointed donut shop in the middle of the dark. I was like, this is amazing. And then, like, 6 years later, I found out it was Bill's. I was like, this is amazing. I could have been hitting this up every weekend, right? All right, serious questions. Like, another serious question. Like, who are you going to date? Who are you going to not date? Who are you going to, like, talk to? Because that's kind of what, right? That's kind of, right? Who are you going to marry, right? Well, hey, let's just figure this out right now. Okay, you ready? So turn to your neighbor and just, no, I'm just joking. We're not going to do that. Some of you are like, I really wish he would have went there. And other of you are like, I'm so glad he didn't. Okay. Hey, so just a side note, okay, so I actually met my awesome wife at my very first Chi Alpha event. Give it up for her because she's super patient, okay? Now, fellas, I can't guarantee the same for you guys, but I'm just saying it happens. It has happened before, so God does some things. He repeats some things, and so it's very possible. So if you want to increase your chances, just meet a lot of people. Have a lot of cereal. Say, hey, you like cereal? I like cereal. You know, like, this could be it. Could be God, right? You know, I don't know. Okay. Serious questions, okay? Hey, all these questions are super important to ask, but seriously, let me encourage you, there is no greater question that you can ask than who is Jesus. There's no greater question. And that is what Chi Alpha is about. We love to party, we love to have fun, we love to eat cereal, play can jam, volleyball, eat a lot of popsicles while we play volleyball, right? Play Sushi Go. We love to be diverse. We love to have different types of food, different types of music. We love all that stuff. But what binds us together is Jesus and who he is. We, as Christians, have been designed to be brothers and sisters in God's family. And that's an awesome thing. We were designed to be in God's family with him, but we all actually chose to reject that identity, to reject that purpose. And what the Bible talks about as sin, and we've all done it in our own way, creatively or publicly or privately. We've all done it. We've rejected Jesus, God's plan for us, and we had no way of returning back to God. But Jesus made a way. Specifically, God made a way through his son, Jesus. And that's what we're about in Chi Alpha. So I had a couple testimonies lined up, and what I'd like to do for next week is we have some student testimonies. And so actually, we don't have it who's going to be determined to who's going to do it. So if you want to give your testimony about how Jesus has changed your life or impacted you, just please talk to me or talk to my wife later. We'd love to hear it because I'm going to tell my story a little bit tonight, but we'd love to hear student stories too. Okay, so sound good? So next week, got to come back for that. Okay, so just a little bit about my story. Excuse me. So I grew up in the church. I did all the right things. I was secretly full of myself. Very judgmental because of a lot of insecurities that I had and not knowing where I was in God's family. I would seriously make fun of people all the time. Like, I would find ways to make fun of people. That was just my MO. That was like my modus operandi. Like, what I would do, I would just mock people. And I practiced on my brother, okay, because he was bigger than me. And if I couldn't beat him up, I would just like try to cut him down with words. You know what I mean? And like, I have older brothers that love you and hit you sometimes. Okay, yeah. So my mom, she's so funny. We would punch each other all the time. And my mom would be like she'd hear the thuds, you know, from like upstairs. She's like, I don't like body sounds. Stop it. And it's like, this just sounds weird. And then she would sing a song, which is worse. She'd like, be kind to one another. You guys heard that song? Okay, and my whole life, up until like a year ago, I thought it was just be kind, like the extended be, but it's be ye kind, because I saw it on a t-shirt. So I feel like an idiot. So anyway, a lot of body sounds going on in my house. Not now, back then. So, but seriously, I tore people down to make myself feel better. And I grew up in a Lutheran church. My mom's side's Lutheran, my dad's side Catholic. So I kind of call myself a denominational mutt. So I love, like, if you have any denomination in your background, like, just please talk to me. Like, there's probably some crossover that we've had, like, oh, yeah, you went to this crazy little church, and we, yes, I went to a crazy little church, too. Okay, so let's just bond over that, okay? So, but I did go to a Lutheran church for a time, okay? Really small youth group. I was like me and five other girls in the youth group. Good option, but none of them worked out. Got a better option. So the Lutheran church I grew up, they didn't actually have altar calls, but I knew about Jesus. I grew up like hearing about Jesus, that kind of stuff, like that was a positive thing. I never had this like huge fall away from the faith, that kind of stuff. So it was always like a good thing, what I wanted, like the gospel, I was aware of it, okay? And so because we didn't have altar calls in my Lutheran church, we would always go out to Waffle House, because my dad loved Waffle House. We'd always go to Waffle House after church. And so I remember one time with my parents, like it all just kind of came to me, and I just wanted to like kind of profess what was going on in my heart to my parents. And I pretty much just committed my life to Jesus at a Waffle House. Like as the nasty grits are coming by, you know, it's like, oh yeah, pass the butter and the sugar and all whatever else you're going to put in grits, because it's not going to taste good, right? But seriously, like I gave my heart to Jesus and it all made sense to me at a Waffle House. And it's kind of funny because God does these things at these fine dining establishments, okay? So Bob Evans, Waffle House, you know, like God has like encounters me at these very high quality, expensive restaurants, right? And so Bill's Donuts, I haven't heard from God at Bill's Donuts. I'm just waiting. So maybe next time we go, you know, I'll have a revelation from God or a vision. It'll be sweet. So, but a lot of those things happened to me. But by the time I got to college, I really felt like I was just doing great with Jesus. I felt like I was doing everything I needed to do. I would study the lessons. I would do the lessons. I'd go to church on Sunday. I'd go to church camp. I'd go to church camp and I'd swear, not to God, because you can't do that, but I'd swear to everything else but God that I was going to read my Bible every day for the rest of my life. Anybody do want to have one of those prayers? Just me? Okay. And inevitably, like a week later, like I lost my Bible and I can't find it. Okay. But I was trying. Okay. I was trying and I thought I was doing pretty darn good because I wasn't drinking. I wasn't smoking. I wasn't having sex. That was what I thought Christianity was about. I thought Jesus came to save me so I don't do bad things, and now I wait around until Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back. That's what I thought it was. So really, I'm thinking, I'm doing amazing. I'm just going to marry a good Christian girl. I'm going to work for Lego Corporation, right, and wait for Jesus to come back, and it's going to be awesome. And just eat Swedish fish all the time, and like me and Jesus would be awesome, right? That's what I was thinking. But the good thing is God actually had better plans than all of that. And I didn't realize that until my first year at Wright State. So how many freshmen do we have in the house tonight? Awesome. Awesome. Give them a round of applause. Hey, we value guys so much. We know that it's, you know, it's probably a lot of effort to come here. So thank you so much for coming. You guys are super special to us. You guys get first dibs on the cereal. How about that? Is that good? And soy milk if you need it. So God had bigger plans for me. And then, but I didn't realize it. But it happened when I encountered, get this, it happened when I encountered students in Chi Alpha. It didn't happen by myself in Millett. It didn't happen in my home church when I went home. It happened when I encountered Jesus in the company of students in Chi Alpha. I was shocked because many students, get this, I grew up in church my whole life, but many students in Chi Alpha when I was a student, they were loving Jesus far greater than I was. And I didn't get it. I seriously didn't get it. I thought, how could you know Jesus more than I do and you've barely been saved? You've only known Jesus for like a year, like 6 months. I was mad. I was ticked. I'm thinking, I'm doing everything I need to know, everything I need to do right. I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. I'm not doing all these things. I'm staying away from bad stuff, just trying to wait around for Jesus. And you guys love following Jesus. I was bored because when you just don't do bad things, you don't actually know what to do and you get bored. I was totally bored in my faith. But these students weren't. They loved Jesus. They actually loved to pray. I didn't love to pray. They actually loved to study scripture. I didn't even study scripture at all. Like I was falling asleep. You know, I was reading my Bible on my pillow and then I'd fall asleep inevitably every time. I'm like, okay, so maybe if I roll on my back and I put the Bible up here, you know, that'll help me stay awake, right? Does that help? No, not at all. So that was the extent of my Bible reading because I didn't love reading. I didn't love studying God's word, but these other students, they did. These students lived for Jesus in a powerful way that was way more exciting than I was. They loved to follow Jesus. They were passionate about Jesus, and I simply wasn't. I was simply avoiding big sins, and I was doing a lot of judging people, which I'm not proud of, but that's what I was doing. But over the course of my freshman year, through meeting people, through praying with them, through playing lots of racquetball with the campus pastor. So if you guys want to do that with me, I'd love to do that. Lots of racquetball and being challenged to actually know Jesus for myself, I can honestly say that I grew more in my first year at Wright State than all other 18 years of just going to church, going through the motions, not doing the bad stuff. I'm totally serious. I grew more in my faith on a secular, non-Christian college where people weren't telling me what to do, where I got to choose if I'm going to crack open the Bible, if I'm going to choose if I'm going to wake up for prayer, I'm going to choose if I get to talk to people about Jesus. I grew more my first year at Wright State than all years of just trying to be a good, strong Christian. And I believe that God can do that and even more in your hearts too and in your lives. And that's not to bash churches because we love the local church. That's how God uses people. But that's just a testimony to what God can do on the college campus. All that is because of Jesus. God changing students' lives on the college campus. That's what we're about. We're not about cereal as much. We love it, you know, but we're about God changing students' lives on the college campus. It's all about Jesus, all because of Jesus. So let me ask you the same question that Jesus asked his own disciples. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Now, a lot of times when I ask questions, I'm looking for a response, but right now I'm not. I just want you to ponder that, even for a moment. Who do you say that Jesus is? And if your quick answer is, my Lord and Savior, that's awesome. I praise God for that. But is He more? Is He more than that? Is He more than just salvation? Is He more than just what your parents know? Is He for you today? Can He do something for you today? Can He change that thing in your life that doesn't seem to change? There's a quote by Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father through me. Except through me, I'm sorry, yeah. Let me rephrase that. Cut that out of the recording. No, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Is He your life? Is He your life? John 10 says, the thief or the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, this is Jesus speaking, I have come that they or you would have life and have it to the full, or have it to the fullest. Is your life overflowing because you have Jesus? Or are we just consistent? Are we good? Are we waiting around for Him to come back? Or do we not know Him at all? I don't know about you guys, but that sounds like somebody I want to follow. That's not a quote, Jesus says, don't drink, don't smoke, and wait around for a long time. Right? That's not somebody you want to follow. That's not a friend you want to hang out with. But if somebody's going to say, I have come that you would have a fuller life than anything you could ask or imagine or experience with anything else, any guy, any girl, any drug, any experience, I am more than that. I want to follow that. Simply put, Jesus is everything. Jesus is what our hearts deep down long for. And let me pause there for a second. Sometimes we ignore what our hearts are going, what's going on in our hearts. We distract ourselves, right? What's the distraction that we easily do over our hearts? What? Staying busy, yeah. What's another thing? Netflix. I'm having a horrible day. Netflix, right? I get it. But the rumblings in your heart, they don't stop because we watch Netflix, right? They don't stop because we're busy, right? They're still there. Those deep questions that you have that maybe we're even too scared to ask, they're still there. Jesus is what your heart and my heart is longing for, even if we're not willing to admit what our heart's longing for. God gives us identity through Jesus' life and sacrifice. Jesus is our hope. All these truths are found in Scripture. Jesus knows our struggles. He knows your struggle. All of them. And He looks on you with compassion. Jesus existed before the creation of the world. Jesus is what I still need. And He's what you need too. And it's what this whole campus and this whole world needs. Jesus is absolutely worth it. He's worth our time. He's worth our lives. He's worth our questions. If we go to the end of the verse, Mark chapter 9, verse 29, Peter, who's always good for an answer, even if it's the wrong answer, but this one he's totally right. He says, you're the Messiah. And that's a fancy word, but basically means you're the Savior. You're everything. You're everything that we've been waiting for thousands of years. You're the summation of every question we've ever asked. You're the embodiment of God Himself. That's what Peter's saying right here. Jesus is God. He's absolutely God. Can I share with you a really quick story about this morning? Is that all right? You guys with me still? Okay. So, I was reading this morning. Sometimes Heather and I get a chance in the mornings to like read it across from each other. So sometimes what we read, we'll kind of share with each other. And so I'm reading in I was reading about an account of Jesus in the Transfiguration. You guys are familiar with the Transfiguration, heard of that at all? Okay, it's kind of a crazy supernatural story. But basically, what happens is Jesus takes three dudes, three bros, and He takes them up to a mountain. and his face lights up like lightning. It's a supernatural event. There's a lot of history involved, but I won't go into it. But basically, he's saying through that and through a couple of the things that happened that Jesus is the summation of thousands of years of questions and questions and people's longings. And what happened, and I haven't been around for thousands of years, and I don't know all these questions, but what happened in that moment, and I think God even did this in my heart, is I started to break down. I started to cry. I started to tell Heather, I was trying to get this out, and this isn't like every day this happens, okay? This is something that happened this morning, but I was telling Heather, I was like, Jesus is everything. Jesus is all the law and all the prophets and all the Old Testament, all the New Testament. He's the center of everything, and I couldn't get it out. And it was just so good to look at my wife and bond over that. And she was just like nodding. She was just totally being patient with me in that moment because it was just so sweet. And I was so thankful. And this wasn't like, hey, I hope I have a good quiet time so I could talk about it, a connection. That was like probably the opposite of what I was hoping for. But what happened in that moment is Jesus became even more real to me. And I've been around church. I've been around sermons. I've been around worship sets for a long time. But Jesus became even more real to me this morning. And I think he can do, and I think he wants to do the exact same with you. Tonight, tomorrow, and your whole time as a student. So Chi Alpha, simply put, is about students' lives being changed. Chi Alpha actually comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20. You don't have to turn there. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's where the XA comes from. Okay, if you take that in the Greek, it starts with XA, that kind of stuff. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, come back to God. That's what Chi Alpha is about. So whether you're new to this whole Jesus thing, or you attended church your whole life, Jesus can and wants to change your life. He wants to give you new life. He wants to restore your life. He wants to give you a full life when you don't have a full life here on campus. And that's our hope, and that's our prayer for you, that Jesus would change your life here on campus. Would you guys stand with me? So I'm going to close in just a moment, and I think the awesome girls are going to prepare the, prepare the cereal for us, okay? But I want to give you guys just a quick moment to respond. So I'm going to ask you guys, I'm not doing this right now, okay, because we have a lot of new people in the house tonight, so just explaining it so it doesn't catch you off guard. I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes, and you have an opportunity to raise your hand just as a response to God, okay? A response to Jesus, not really to me, just a response to God. Nobody's going to call you out, nobody's going to take a picture of you or put it on Snapchat if you responded or not, okay? Then we're not going to make you do anything. This is your choice. It's totally up to you, but I would encourage you, from my heart, to respond to God. I would encourage you to do that. But again, there's nobody forcing you, okay? So there's two responses that I want to ask of you guys if you want to tonight, okay? The first response is to invite God, to invite Jesus to supernaturally encounter, impact, do something in your life. Maybe you need a healing, a physical healing. Maybe you need an emotional healing. Maybe you just are sitting here and you don't even believe that Jesus is real. And you're just like, Jesus, would you just be real to me? Just reveal yourself in a way that I would know and understand. Okay, that's just the first response. That's not salvation. It's just a simple open door to God and saying, would you just do something in my life? Okay, so that's the first one. The second one, I'm going to ask if anybody here would want to commit their life to Jesus. So take it a step further. Not just say, God, encounter my life, but God, I want to commit my life back to you for all of my life and all of eternity. Okay, so two things. That's what we're going to ask. So you guys can go ahead and close your eyes. So the first question, the first response is just to simply invite God to do something supernaturally in your life. I don't know what you need, but he does. to change your life here on campus. Maybe you're not sure what that looks like, and that's okay, but you feel in your heart right now that you need God to prove himself or show up in your life in a powerful way. If that is you, I just want to ask you just to slip your hand up and hold it up. This is not a response for me. This is a response to physically responding to God, would you do something in my life? Awesome. Keep your hands raised, please. A lot of hands going up. A lot of people wanting encountered by God. So if you keep your hands raised, I'm just going to ask you to pray a very simple prayer and just repeat after me, okay? Jesus, and you can say this out loud together. Jesus, would you show me that you're real? Would you change my life? Would you give me new life? Would you give me a full life here on Wright State? Amen. If you guys would keep your eyes closed. I know that's a simple prayer, but God is actually loves simple prayers because they're honest. So you guys can lower your hands if you want. The second response, I want to invite you guys, and I have my wife up here, if you could come up. If you guys would like to, tonight, commit your life to Jesus, to get saved, to say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord, which means my boss, my like eternal boss, and my Savior, Savior for my sins. I don't want to be stuck in the rut of my own sins. If you want to be free from that and commit your heart and your life to Jesus, this is with every eye closed still, I'm going to ask you to be a little bit more bold. And would you just come up front? And my wife and I would love to pray for you. So if you're a girl or guy, doesn't matter. We'd love to pray for you. So if that's you, would you go ahead and just make your way down the steps and come on up front? And we'd love to pray with you. We're not going to pray with you in public. We're going to close the service and then we'll pray with you after. If you want to commit your life to Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and follow him forever, we invite you to come on down. Very good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let me pray for you guys and then we're going to close, okay? Would you guys just kind of have your hands open just to receive just from God whatever he wants to do? Jesus, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for every single one of these students, God, especially the bold and the brave freshmen and new students that came out tonight. God, I pray that you would bless them. God, not just in a super fancy religious way, God, but literally bless them. God, bless their finances, bless their time, bless their relationships. God, I pray that they'd hear from you better. God, I pray that when they read scripture, it would make more sense and it would become alive to them. God, would you bless their schoolwork? God, I pray that as they go to class, things would click and they would just see their grades kind of go up. Jesus, in your name, God, I pray that you would take care of these students. God, would you take care of us? God, would you hold them in your hands? Would you speak life over them? Because the world has so much death for us. God, but would you be life for us? Would you be a full life for us? In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.